Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I like the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Feel good.
Hello and welcome to the Feels Good podcast. I'm Amanda Cerny and I have Jacqueline Fernandez, and we also have a very special guest with us today. And instead of our feel good stories, we have amazing feels good guests with us. And Jacqueline, I'll let you do the intro.
Woohoo! Okay, I am so super excited to introduce our first celebrity guest on our show.
Am I your first guest?
You are our first guest.
Okay, hello.
Yes.
So this is really exciting. It's an exciting time as well. We are celebrating Diwali. So it's a super special time for us. And Seth needs no introduction. He is a national award winner, one of our most loved celebrity, one of our most loved stars, actors, producers. You're a Padma Shri winner.
Yes.
He comes from this really beautiful family of royalty. He's a Patodi.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just like, I have to make sure everything is right.
Yeah, you're looking at him for approval. You're like, yes.
Wait,
yes.
I'm super excited. Okay, the thing is about Seth, I have to tell you, before I came to Bollywood, my favorite actor from India was Seth.
No.
I swear to God. Like, there was, I would like see your films. He has some of the most iconic films, the most iconic characters. And for me, like, Seth is like this, like, especially when I came as well, I couldn't believe I had this opportunity to work with you. And now it's our second film together as well. Such a super cool guy, apart from being this brilliant actor. He's just like super suave. Like, to me, he's like the super suave, super chic, really intelligent, reads a lot of books, mm-hmm. not like my fake reading, which we discussed the other day. I fake read a lot.
What's fake reading?
Oh, fake reading is when you have a book and then like you get through like three pages and then
you forget to turn the page.
And then you put it away and you come back to it after 4 months.
And then you post about it and you're like, just read this awesome book.
And you post about it and you're like, I love this book. And then like you feel so like, I mean, divine when you've read like those 5 pages. And then
better than no pages, I
see. Yeah, exactly. True. I have loads of books and a lot of them I've gone through, but like a lot of them are just like half written or half read.
Yeah. That's exactly the same as me.
Is it?
Yeah, a lot of them are half written. I'm supposed to read everything.
Really?
No.
I thought when you pick up a book, you're supposed to...
Well, I mean, you know, I've failed often, and sometimes you get through it.
Well, yeah.
And then you keep it. I mean, I kind of have books that I think would be really interesting to read, and I haven't read them all, but I plan to.
Well, you know, it's
That's
kind of like...
my plan.
Like,
also.
Sometimes we don't always make it through.
Yeah.
We don't always make it through a film, right? So it's like sometimes you just don't, maybe you don't really enjoy the book that you're reading and you're like, okay.
You know, I heard a really nice Spanish writer say something amazing about books where he used to travel a lot as a kid because his father was a diplomat. Mm-hmm. And he used to start feeling a little insecure going to various places that he didn't recognize. But he took his books with him and he took about 5 or 6 classics or whatever he liked because he knew that on such and such page, this would happen.
Wow.
And that gave him a sense of security and a sense of, you know, wherever he is in the world, it'd take him to a new hotel or a new house. He knows on page 65, you know, this is what's going to happen with Don Quixote or with Pinocchio. He enjoyed that security.
Wow, yeah.
The books too.
Comforting.
Yeah, well, it's comforting.
It is. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful book place. So we are shooting for a film right now in Dharamshala. And there is, I don't know if you saw it on the way here, there's this quaint little bookstore.
No, I didn't. Oh, but I like the town. It's amazing. I want to go for a walk.
Amanda, you're invited to Dharamshala.
Adding it to the list of places I'm going with Jacqueline.
Yeah, we've already planned like some 7 countries to visit.
But this should be one of them for sure.
Yeah, Dharamshala is so special. And like, so yeah, on the way here in the market, I saw this really quaint bookstore. And all I could think about was like, oh my God, Seth is going to love. What books did you carry with you on this trip?
I've carried a couple of ghost story books. The Oxford Book of Ghost Stories, the best collection of ghost stories ever.
Wow.
It starts in, you know, one of the early ghost stories is written in about 1600 and something. And it goes on till about now. So the editor has collected how the ghost story has changed and evolved over the years.
Wow.
And it's to do with technology. I think when people started inventing the radio and you could hear voices from far away, then people started thinking maybe you can hear voices from other dimensions or things like that. So it's fascinating stuff.
How it evolved.
So ghost story books, a couple of those. And there's one by a kind of a psychiatrist called M. Scott Peck called Further Down the Road, Less Traveled, which I think helps people. I shouldn't laugh. But it's nice. It's nice to get some paternal
it's
kind
really
of advice.
It's really funny that you are reading about ghost stories.
While shooting.
Yeah, because we are actually making a horror.
I've got a couple of books on acting.
Oh, you are.
Guess what? Guess who he's reading? Ivana Chubbuck.
Yeah.
So she's also trained under her.
Fantastic. Really nice book to read.
Yeah.
What else I think? Oh, yeah. I've got the Decameron, which is Boccaccio's old book. It's like Chaucer's precursor to the Canterbury Tales, written during a pandemic as well, actually.
Pandemic.
And what else? And John Dryden's translation of the Aeneid,
which is
the story of Aeneas and Troy, you know, escaping from the burning of Troy and setting up the Roman Empire in...
Wow, I find that so interesting, though. I just don't know where you're getting the time to read all these books.
Well, like I said, I'm not all the time.
I'm feeling so bad right now because I'm like, yeah, my list.
The thing is, I know exactly where they are. And I know that these are the books that are in my room. And if I find myself bored or lost, I can entertain myself in various ways.
Yeah, actually, I think that's the best thing about books. Like I always carry, like I said, like I am a fake reader. So I always make sure I carry a bunch of books with me. Like right now I have a book called, it's such a great book, but I'm still halfway through. It's called A Female Brain.
Okay, nice.
Ooh, but it is so interesting because it talks about, like, I keep, you know, ranting on about this, how, like, we're all about evolution and we're all about reproduction and we're all about, like, survival. Like, even, so, yeah, I feel like our emotions as well are all just, like, manipulated because it's all about us just surviving and reproducing. And so anyways, though, the female brain goes into, like, so many reasons, like, women do the things that they do and how we're structured, how we're made, how we're formed. No, just to reproduce, how our moods happen, how we grow up, when we're kids, what happened to us, when, you know, so it's like just our formation, how we are actually so different from men. So it's a super interesting book. I can't wait to get to the end. I don't know how long that's going to take.
A lot of men should read that book.
Online. About Buddhism and psychology, which was something similar to what you're saying about saying how we're conditioned a certain way from the beginning of kind of time. And, you know, evolution, I mean, the idea is to kind of fight against our natural instincts, you know, which are basically to reproduce.
Exactly.
So, but that's not socially acceptable all the time to kind of
everyone,
which gets us in lots of trouble most of the time, you know?
But that's it's the most natural thing, you know. So yeah, we had a bit of a chat this morning about that. Amanda came up with a fun fact: the best time. Well, yeah, the best time to reproduce
is
after a workout.
It's in the morning. What?
After a workout.
after a workout. I thought morning time too. I was like, oh, for sure, it's the morning. You know, jump start the day, and then after a workout when you're all
after a workout
when you're pumped up and the blood is flowing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That was a really great discussion point we had.
Yes.
Amanda, we are having Diwali.
Yeah, and happy Diwali to the both of you, to everyone.
Diwali.
Yeah. I know. It's like I'm like celebrating on my own over here in LA, but I'm sure a bunch of other people are celebrating too. Well, I know for those of you who don't know, Diwali is a 5-day Hindu celebration known as the Festival of Lights. It celebrates the victory of good over evil, light over darkness. And I love that so much. And knowledge over ignorance, which preach is very important and is celebrated by billions of Hindus, Sikhs, and Jains across the world. So, so awesome.
Seth's family is actually flying in. They're going to be here like in a few hours.
Yes, they've flown in. They're driving up now.
Oh, they're driving up now. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yay.
Like his son is so super cute. I can't wait to see him.
You should interview him.
Oh my gosh. He is so hilarious. He's like 4 years old and he's just like the cutest thing. Seth, what is like the one thing you've learned from Terry Moore? Like what is like something?
I think, you know, he's incredibly kind. And he's much kinder than sometimes I mean, I try and be kind, but he's more patient and kinder than I am. He's very, he's just very warm to all the people who work with us and everyone we meet in our lives. He's constantly watching and he's learned by example. If I say something, and even is slightly off tone, he says, you know, Abba, you can be nicer than that. Or
oh, wow.
Like, yeah. So he's a bit of a, you know, parent to me in that sense where we both correct each other if we step out of line, which I think
is
good.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great though. I think there is so much to learn from kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have another one on the way.
Yes.
Oh. How does that?
Can you break down your family for everybody listening that doesn't know? Just like, it's so interesting. Like how everybody's in entertainment and it's just like
my mother is an actor and my mother's family is from the Tagore family and my great grand uncle was Rabindranath Tagore, who was a Nobel laureate and he won a Nobel Prize and I think he was knighted by the British as well, but he gave both those things back after atrocities committed by the colonial British ruling India, who were, you know, shooting people and things like this. So he said he kind of returned the knighthood. So a lot of them were artists, the Tagores, like great painters and poets and things like this. So my mother's from that kind of thing. She's been doing films since she was 16. She worked with Satyajit Ray a lot, who's a very famous Indian director. So worked with him when she was 16 and did about 4 or 5 movies. I think she was his muse in many ways. He kind of thought of her as the ultimate female representation of his art. So there was that. And then my sister's in kind of movies and, you know, my wife my ex-wife as well. So all of us.
Like everyone. And
my daughter.
Yeah.
And you know, my son, elder son, wants to be an actor. And I think then we will be an actor for sure. He's entertaining us already.
Yeah, we know from now already.
And he's so kind.
All super talented.
They're just all into movies. They're all like, super talented. And it is a wonderful profession, you know. So
that means you knew you wanted to be an actor?
No, I was a big mess. But also, my father was a cricketer. He's from a completely different
field,
different field and a different upbringing. Like Jacqueline said that, I mean, they used to be sort of ruling princes and had a whole different set of ideas. And acting on front of a camera wasn't necessarily something that came very naturally to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there was some pulls in different directions, and I didn't know where I wanted to go or what I was capable of. And I was sent to a very academic school in my father's footsteps, and that didn't go precisely as planned. I think the idea was I'd become a lawyer or a doctor or something. And our generation in Delhi growing up in the 80s, we're the first people in India really to say, okay, we don't want to become doctors or lawyers or kind of engineers or these safe jobs that you're trying to give us. And we'd rather be some kind of artist. A lot of dress designers, like, you know, Rohit Pal and all these guys, we used to party together when we were 17, 18, and they were already starting to do these amazing things. So it was never going to be something regular. But it was a bit worrying for my parents when I was 18, 19, because I knew it wasn't going to be a 9-to-5 job. And when films came along, that sounded like a really exciting thing, but it's something I was kind of kept away from growing up. It wasn't.
Did you watch like all your mom's films?
No, none. I watched one and then she was wearing the same outfit that she wore at home, because I think it was a low budget film and she'd worn her own clothes.
Wow.
To kind of help them out. And then she was crying a lot because the films were very melodramatic. And you are much like Italian movies, you're either playing, you know, I mean, I think she was playing some kind of a sex worker who had been abused and lost her fans. It was traumatizing. It was called Mossam. And she was smoking and she was drinking and losing her mind and crying.
How old were you?
I was very young. I was, about 6 or 7. And anyway, I started crying. And then I didn't watch Hindi films because I thought they're too...
melodramatic.
They're too, emotionally sort of...
draining.
Or melodramatic.
And really long.
Really long.
They used to be really long.
And you could hear them through the house, you know. It's usually this mother crying.
Yeah.
And the background music playing.
I remember this, like, growing up in Bahrain. Because there was no cable, there was just, like, the local television. So you just watched whatever they gave
you. And this is in India. So there was Doordarshan. There was only two movies. There's a movie on Saturday, and that was it.
Yes. So we only had, Hindi films every Wednesday night. They used to play Hindi. But I remember... the slot was from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. and they filled up the whole, like, it was like they were really, really long. It's like Gone with the Wind, the Ten Commandments type of, like, the length was really, really long. Now, of course, we've downsized.
Well, life's changed, hasn't it? I mean, I think the idea is still, it's interesting how things tie up together. I think in India, sometimes, unless you're here, it's difficult to go out. I mean, you don't really hear of a family taking their kids out and feeding the ducks or kind of going for a walk. So going to the movies is really kind of the only family outing. So sometimes there used to be a bit longer. There was no kind of rock and roll industry or music industry. So a few years ago, you'd get everything from the movie, whether it was music, whether it was your rock star, whether it was your poet. So all those different types of art, which you can actually find in different places normally, were found in one movie. So it's probably stretched a bit long as well. So you get a full day out of it.
That's true. A whole outing.
You're not on social media, right? Like, I haven't seen. I was like, all right, let me check out all of his socials and stuff. And I'm like, he's off the grid. Where is he?
A couple of reasons, really.
There's articles for days about you.
I mean, I guess I'm a little old-fashioned in the sense that I like doing press the way we're doing it now. Where you talk to someone and do it. I mean, it's fine. I would do it, but I just think it would distract me from... I went for a nice walk today and I was looking at this church at the bottom of this hill and it's beautiful. And I tried to take a picture of it and I started photographing it, but I stopped enjoying the church. Mm-hmm. So I thought I can't do both, you know. It's better for me to experience things and just talk to people and do just live the life I'm living in the way I am. But I think it's great that other people do it because I like to look at what other people are up to and I like to look at the world through their eyes. And it's really nice. It's no judgment. I mean, it's unfortunate that we can't be just original in our thoughts sometimes. And you're always made to feel that if you're not doing it, there's either something wrong with you or something wrong with the person who is doing it. And it's nothing like that. It's just,
I'm almost kind of envious right now. Yeah. Like, because social media, when it started for me, it was, I think this was 6 years ago, maybe I got onto Instagram and it was just this really, really fun thing, this fun platform to upload your pictures and aesthetic. It was like for photographers actually. And I was like, oh my God, like I want to be this, everything just like this. It was a very cool thing to do.
That's so true. I totally forgot that it didn't have video right away.
Have any of that. It was just beautiful aesthetic pictures. And I remember putting up sunsets, putting up chai and afternoon chai. And then it grew into something that almost became, beyond our control, a lot of people's control. It has a really ugly side to it as well.
And people keep bringing up my wife and saying, can you post this and can you do that? And I think that's a bit intrusive, no? They must be asking you. You have so many followers.
It's so funny. Two years or 3 years into social media, because it became this huge phenomena. So I started feeling the intrusion. I started feeling people hanging on, or people just wanting that one post or people just wanting that one picture on your platform. And then everything just became kind of disillusioned and fake and inauthentic. And I was getting pretty stressed by it. And now I think I've found my balance where I know
my phone's quite Instagram worthy. I love taking pictures.
Oh, I know.
Of things.
You should make a book.
Nice stuff. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
there we go.
Screw it up one day.
Yeah, the
coffee table.
You're doing your book.
Well, someone asked me to do a book, and I'm kind of, I might chicken out because I was just thinking, because it's too much work to do it properly, and then you have to be very honest as well, which probably will disturb quite a few people.
But don't you think that's what we need right now?
Yeah, but no, I don't know. I honestly don't know if I am prepared to put myself through the 100% abuse that's going to come my way. I don't think, I'm really sorry to say it, I'm going to say it. I don't think the general audience, and not the general, but there's just too much, there will be a section of audience that's so negative in India that I don't want to share my life and talk about things because actually I haven't even told the publishers that I'm thinking of not doing it. We've started doing it. Maybe I'll carry on doing it. Maybe I won't. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you, because when I was walking today, part of the book should describe what I was feeling and thinking and looking at these trees and thinking how lucky we are to be shooting in Himachal and, you know, all this. And it's not really, because...
So why hasn't it become... So basically, me and Amanda started this podcast because during quarantine, we realized how negative the world had become. And obviously, it was this really crazy situation. People were losing jobs. There was just, you know, people frustrated. Stressed. A lot of that stuff. So we decided to make this podcast called The Feels Good Podcast. We're like, we will only discuss really positive things. And like, so we pick up like positive news from around the world, like random stuff. We pick up like really weird fun facts.
So that's cool, because
and your
media
book
is really negative.
Oh my God. Yeah, like, okay. I mean, you turn on
so
the
my
news.
My book is one of the positives?
Yeah.
But again, I'm sorry to bring in the negative, but.
Don't bring in the negative.
Okay, fine.
It's a part of it though. Like,
okay, let me rephrase this. I'm saying, yes, I think I'll have to work hard to find the right balance between, you know, artistic description, inner kind of dialogue about what one feels, and to kind of decide how personal you want to get. And that's the thing. And I think it could be a really good platform to kind of, you know, share some experiences.
You know, there's so many people as well that actually want to just like read your thoughts and learn a little bit from you and about you. And it's just like your memoirs. And I think it's just,
you know, certain things are just lost if you don't write them down.
Absolutely. And you have kids as well. So they can always like, I mean, it's something they can.
I have a friend of mine who said, yes, I've been busy writing my memoirs. My kids come in and say, what are you doing? And he says, no, listen, you'll thank me one day. But he hasn't spent any time with them. For I think he's writing it for himself. He's just pretending.
That this is for you, my children.
This is the key to your future.
Like, that's his social media.
I like a book in our movie. Yeah. It's quite easy to kind of delude yourself.
His memoirs is his social media, his version.
Yeah.
It's like his notepad.
But I'm excited for that.
I'm going to try and do it properly.
And just, and, in a different way.
I think it can't be done easily. I mean, they had an idea where I just kind of narrated to a writer and then we run through various topics. But I think it'll require some effort sitting down and thinking and writing and coming from the heart. It can't just be an interview.
Yeah, Seth, you got to be raw.
Maybe it's your life through your pictures.
It could be.
You know,
my wife made a really moving film for me, cut to some of our, you know, favorite songs. So she had like what Things I Miss the Most by Steely Dan. And she cut 50 years of my life in pictures, starting off with me like in my father's arms.
Wow.
And, that's, you know, a lot of work.
I think she hired an agency to help, but she captioned the pictures and directed the whole thing, which was also,
that's a huge effort as well.
But it was so moving. It was so moving. I was like very close to tears. If I wasn't sociopathically unempathetic, I would have cried.
I love it.
My sister cried. It wasn't about her. She's like, why aren't you crying?
Well, how do you get yourself to cry in your films?
I stick something in my eye and sort of think about losing something
pain.
I love. No, well, you know, I can fake it a bit, but it's not my, it doesn't come to me as easily as it comes to some people.
Crying is difficult.
I've made these blocks, so I find it difficult to get around them. I can laugh quite easily. I think it's the damage of boarding school.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it kind of toughens you up, but it also, well, I don't know if toughen up means block emotionally. think it could be that as well.
Of course. That's what toughen up means. In boarding school, are you guys like afraid to cry?
No. Actually, we went to a very liberal boarding school as far as English boarding schools go, because, you know, 20 years before that, there was caning and a system called fagging, which might not sound the same.
What happened when
the prefect shouts fag, and all the junior boys come running, and the last guy to arrive gets the dirty job, and he has to say, "Go and clean my shoes and make sure they're shiny."
Why was it called fagging?
What was the name?
That was mean. Crazy.
Are your kids being homeschooled?
Just mean different things.
That's true.
Should make a list of those.
That's in your book.
Things I've
observed. Yeah. There's many different names.
Yeah. From there's many. I can't
Feels good. Today's episode is brought to you by Clorox. When it counts, trust Clorox the same way we trust essential workers to provide the care they give to us. Families trust Clorox to give them a safe and protected home.
Our community heroes trust Clorox to keep places like hospitals and grocery stores disinfected. So I know I too can trust Clorox to provide my home with a safe environment at home we can all enjoy. So I have a story for you, Amanda. With Clorox, there's one thing I definitely use it for every single time before I step into my vanity van. I love the entire place disinfected because that's where I keep my makeup. That's where I get ready. That's where my clothes are. That's sometimes where I take a nap as well. So, you know, I can use it all over like the floors, the countertops, like any kind of appliances over there, door handles. And of course, this is the time of need. So it's been really, really, it just keeps everything super clean and I feel super safe.
For me, it's important to share with loved ones and the public in general how they can give the most care for their loved ones, because especially during times like these, I mean, with the pandemic going on, with COVID going on, it's just great to be extra sanitary with all the items that are around you, caring for others, and, you know, just wiping down the door handle after you use the bathroom or wiping down
the bathtub. Important.
The toilet, so important. The toilet handle. Don't forget the toilet handle. So remember,
when it counts, trust Clorox.
You're producing, which is amazing. Like, when did you start getting into producing alongside acting?
You know, when I joined the movies, there was a system in place where the big, powerful filmmakers would be making these movies. And you probably wouldn't get paid much to be doing their movies, because it was an honor and a privilege, because these movies are going to be really well made and they'll probably do well, and then you make your money elsewhere. That was the idea. But when actually Kishore Lulla of Eros Entertainment came to town, he had big ideas. And what he did was he kind of gave some of us who were doing all right in movies and some who were doing obviously very well. I was doing all right. And he said, "Why don't you make your own movie? And I'll give you the money. Let's cut out the middleman. I'll distribute it. You put it together."
Wow.
And think like, you know, Shah Rukh is thinking, for example. So he gave us lots of money and we started doing it ourselves. So we formed a company financed by somebody else, which is great, but it's not as gutsy as really putting your own money in, because then you really own the show.
But, you know, I find that so difficult for an actor. Like, when you are acting in a film that you're also financing, putting your money in, like, I feel it would, like, you know, like, we go into films right now, we're just going there, we act, we do this, we do a couple. But, like, when you know, like, wait a minute, the money's going here, this is, I don't know if, like, that would compromise it.
It would compromise. I mean, it's not easy, because, you know, an actor's used to a certain kind of perks and a certain way of working, and there's demands on you, but there's also, you know, you can relax. So you're used to living a certain way. If you were a producer and you'd be getting calls saying, you know, why is my bedroom not cold or warm or whatever?
Exactly.
And that, you know, you haven't signed on for, you like, sorry. Why are you calling
me? I'm like reading my script, trying to learn my lines.
So the magic of a movie is when everyone comes together and does their bit.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the actor does his bit and the producer does his bit. And they're all different, very different parts to this whole.
I know.
The director too, and all that, you know?
I think production is super difficult.
Like, well, it's an art, and it's a very creative field, and it's not necessarily just money, you know?
Yeah, but it is a business.
It is a business.
Yeah. It's just like third lines.
But it's fun. Yeah. It's very creative. I would love the idea of having a small production, to come up with an idea and say, okay, this should be a movie. And someone says, no, that's not a movie. That's actually a short story. Or that's a book. It's not a film, or it's a short film, or it's a web show. No, this is a mainstream commercial movie that should be 3D. That's the producer's kind of art, if he can make that call. How much money to put on this story? You know, which I'm not sure.
I never looked at it that way, actually. Yeah. That is like a major call to take.
Right, and who to take and how to make it and how much to make it in. I said, no, that's too much for like Bhoot Police, you know. Or he said, no, take them. Let's go to Himachal and shoot it and spend
Bhoot Police is the film that we're shooting for right now. It's a horror comedy and it's coming out next year.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah.
And we all need some more laughter, and a horror comedy is perfect because I feel like comedy and horror are just like great together.
They do quite well together.
Yeah. Oh, God. They're so much fun to make. Like, honestly, like, I'm on set all the time just, like, laughing at Seth and, like, the ridiculous
and
things.
And me at you. Jacqueline's so good in this movie.
I can't wait
guess what I play? I play, like, a really crazy... Oh, I don't think I should be sure.
Well, it's all right, but you play someone who's quite into selfies.
I love vlogging.
Oh,
perfect.
But I'm not a very successful one, but, like, I try really
even
hard.
Better.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is...
Yeah,
who's good at vlogging? You know, it's teach their own,
and everything's like what your perception and what you put out there. Anyways, like I'm really, really good. I have so many followers. Like it's all what you put out there. But yeah, so it's really crazy, and we keep like we just do not get along in the film, and so it's
well, we're kindred spirits.
Yeah, but we're two really corrupt souls. But it's really funny.
I'm a little lower on the class scale.
And I'm too classy for him. So, yeah.
You can see the chemistry already between you two, though, and even for the movie, that's going to read really well in the show, too. So I'm excited to see it. But I do want to know a little, because I'm catching up here, like, even with you, Seth. So you're focusing on acting and producing, maybe going to do a book, maybe.
Maybe.
Hopefully it's maybe.
I think he's been convinced though already.
Yeah, I'm doing the book.
Sold. Done.
He's sold.
I've already started doing it.
He's thinking about that right now. He's not even like listening to us.
I will request that you make an audiobook version of it for me so I could just like listen to it instead and just like, I love audiobooks.
I love Seth's voice actually.
Yeah, it's like soothing.
Unique, awesome voice. That would actually be so
cool. I should do an audiobook.
Yeah.
I read out something someone asked me to read
time.
Out.
Yeah,
once upon a time. Well, I read to Tim.
Oh, you read to him.
Yeah.
So lucky.
He likes horror stories.
No.
And if they're not scary, The Hook, that's that famous American horror story. Every kid's read The Hook.
Well, Peter Pan?
No. Yeah, I mean, there is a hook in Peter Pan, too, with the crocodile. He knows that story.
That's what I thought it was.
Warned not to go out at night. And they go out to play in a car, and they're told that this guy's escaped from a loony bin, and he's got a social loony bin anymore, probably. And he's escaped, and he's he doesn't have a left hand; he's got a hook instead. And then they hear the scratching sound of the car, and they run away. And when they come back with their parents, the car's all scratched, and there's a hook on the car.
Ooh, okay. So wait a minute. Are these his bedtime stories?
Yeah, he likes it. And if you don't tell him a proper scary one, he's waiting in
like hello,
and then he's like, that's not scary at all.
How am I supposed to fall asleep now?
Did you read him your script and just be like, all right, this is what I'm
tell him the story. And he said, that's good.
Oh my God.
He approved.
Very good.
On the internet, there's some ghost stories that are kind of constructive. So there's a guy, there's a knight, an Arthurian knight who's traveling around and he's in love with this servant girl and his father forbids him to marry her and has her disappear. And this guy's lost and he's wandering around and he seeks shelter in this kind of hut one night or in this castle or something and lights a fire and goes to sleep and this door flies open and this witch and this horrendous person is standing there. And, you know, she says, I need a place to sleep. So he lets her in and he kind of looks after the witch and puts her to, because compassion is the key. And he puts her to sleep and in this place and she says, go and get me some wood for a fire and make my bed. And he does all this for her. And the next morning, she's transformed into that servant girl again, and she's beautiful.
Oh.
And he ends up married. She said, I was cursed that if anyone would show me true kindness, I would back to normal. These are the stories that you have to tell the kids.
There's actually always some form of darkness in fairy tales as well. There's always that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they used to be very dark.
Evil, you know, and obviously love would conquer all, and, you know, everything would be fine. But there was always, like, some kind of darkness and, like, kind of eerie as well when you look at it again.
Yeah. And you don't usually realize it until you get older and you look back and you're like, oh, that is twisted. Like, yeah. What? But yeah, I love it. It's like when I used to watch
a lot of Grimm stories, or Hans Christian Andersen, particularly the Brothers Grimm, they get quite violent. I mean, a prince falls out of a tower and then scratches his eyes on rose bushes and he's blinded.
Yeah, gruesome. Yeah.
It's quite gruesome.
It's brutal. Bloody. I know. I like it.
So that's your favorite genre to kind of, for acting, you enjoy horror films the most?
No. I don't know what my favorite genre is, actually. It's just anything that's interesting, really. You shouldn't be repetitive. If you're lucky, I mean, you know, to kind of get to mix it up is great.
I think you've done every single genre.
I don't know.
You've done love. You've done period films. You've done horror comedy. You've done comedy. You've done drama. You've done, sci-fi? Sci-fi is not,
no,
not
we haven't
very,
done sci-fi yet.
It's not a very big genre here, though.
No.
Really?
It's not. Or sci-fi,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe
but you should.
I think that we've been talking about sci-fi meets mythology in India. So I think with this 3D and CG becoming really good.
Yeah. I think we're getting there.
Great. I think we're getting there. It's an exciting time.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, like, honestly, like, horror comedy as well was not a genre in the past. And then he did one of the first horror comedies, which I absolutely love.
I've always wanted to do one.
Mm-hmm. You have to watch this film, Amanda. It is hilarious. I'm waiting for part two.
Yeah, I hope they'd make
it. Oh, I'm so hoping for part
you
two.
You can make it. You're a producer.
Yeah,
get in there.
He did make it.
I did make it the first time.
No, part two.
But like, it's a zombie. It's a zombie film. And he plays a fake Russian mafia in Goa.
Yeah, he's from Delhi. Pretending
I loved it. He was like this fake Russian. It was so good.
I've been to Goa once before.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you enjoy it? Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. We know what you're saying.
Yeah. I've been there. But no, it's awesome. Beautiful. Yeah. But
it was great. You were here last year as well. You were here last year?
Well, I hope you guys are having so much fun on set. I know we have so much time with Steph today, but it was amazing hearing your stories. Like, I want to see more from you, and I guess the only way I'm going to is through that book that you put out, your movies that I can watch. Or I could just, like, stalk you through Jacqueline. So one of the...
Yes, that's always an option.
Shoot something on set.
Oh yeah.
Send it over, yeah.
I know. So yeah, oh, we will actually. That'd be fun. Yeah, we'll bring you to set.
Yay!
Yeah, it's fun. But thank you so much for doing this podcast.
It was nice to have a chat.
I was actually really scared to ask him. I was like, oh no, like how do I ask? Yeah, and it's crazy because so many people look up to you and you're not on social media. So it's so great to actually like hear like you in interviews and we get so little of you.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, just cause you're not on social media doesn't mean you're anti-social.
No.
I'm quite happy to have a chat and love doing interviews and you know, all that. And I like people. It's just,
you do. You like
us?
Yeah,
I do. Oh. I love you guys.
Yay.
It's all we needed.
Yeah, I know.
We're all confidence boost. Well, I mean, Jacqueline, while you guys are on set, why don't you just like seed the idea of our movie? I mean,
ooh, yeah.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
We have a producer here.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
You guys have an idea for a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We have to tell us.
Mm-hmm. I will pitch it to you.
Okay, wait. Before.
Don't worry.
Do you think we look like sisters?
You guys definitely look.
Similar?
Yeah. Like there's something. You could be.
He's like, well,
you could be sisters. You could be sisters.
Like twins?
Yeah, adopted. Maybe.
But you know, if you do see, I've noticed if ladies do similar makeup, like there were decades in Indian cinema where the top makeup stylist would kind of do everyone, and everyone starts looking slightly similar. Girls can look similar if they do the same eyes and the same kind of.
Are we doing the same makeup?
We've got similar eye makeup on.
We do have similar eyeliner. Yeah. That's a great observation.
Wow.
I have looked at girls before.
He knows more about us than we know about us.
Am I right? I'm right, right?
Outcome the camera.
You're right.
But he's I never noticed that, though. Actually, it's so true. We do.
No? Yeah.
It's Instagram.
Yeah.
It's Instagram makeup.
I'm trying to look at your eyebrows.
Everyone looked the same. Like, is that so? Like, drive past a magazine store. You're 100% sure who that was. You're like, is that so-and-so? Is that so-and-so?
That's oh, it's so-and-so. True. It's like Halloween. We're just dressing up as each other every day.
She said that, not me.
Thanks, Amanda, for comparing us to Halloween. Cool. Yeah.
I was like, dress up. I don't know. Sorry.
Amazing. All righty. Thank you so much,
Sarah, for your
time.
Absolutely.
And doing this segment with us.
I've got nothing to do now. I've got to hang out for a while.
Oh, do you want to hang out? We're keeping you?
I'm prepped.
We're having a lovely little barbecue tonight.
Oh, we have to prepare your party.
Yeah, we're having a little nice Diwali party tonight. Seth is throwing it. And it's going to be, I think, a long night.
No, it can't possibly be.
It can't, right? No. I agree. Because we're starting really early.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Where is off, though?
I've never been to a Diwali celebration.
We'll send you lots of pictures.
Okay. It's really the nicest time.
I think it's the nicest time of year in India. Everyone's in a good mood and it's like nicely lit. And the big thing nowadays is to try and make it a little eco-friendly and not burn too many fire, actually not burn any sort of
crackers
that mess up the atmosphere.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's
I
lights,
love that.
More than
yeah.
Light. And you know, if you go to a small village in India, like I've driven through, and, you know, they're very poor and it's tiny and they're little mud huts. But even they will put a few,
what are
they called? Not just candles, but these kind of mud oil lamps in the window, you know, and it just looks so amazing.
Yeah, it's so charming.
Because light is everything, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
Light is everything. Without light, look at you with that light.
Oh, this would not be good.
Look at the difference it makes.
This would not be good.
Darkness.
That's so true.
But Amanda, you're going to be
where
with
would
us
we
in
be
spirit?
Without light? Seriously. In the darkness. It just sounds like Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
He's a poet.
In the dark, we'd be in the darkness.
Without light.
Oh.
We'd be in the dark.
That makes sense.
In the dark. No light.
But so it's mainly just lighting candles and being with or lights and being with.
Then I don't know, have this strange angle to it. Not strange, I shouldn't say. But an exciting angle to it where they like to gamble. A lot of money. They play cards and they kind of worship the goddess of wealth.
Lakshmi
Devi. And they say, the more money you spend and the more reckless you are tonight, the more she will give you. So you kind of tempt her. Not tempt her, you kind of appease her with your
generosity. I had no idea that was why people played cards. So like,
I'm not sure. I think that's what it is.
That makes sense.
It's like, that's why I play cards. I don't...
But it's full-on gambling time. Gambling is a very accepted part of...
Are you guys playing
culture.
Tonight? Yeah. Are you guys playing tonight?
No, I don't think so. I'm not
a part of
it. Might happen. You ask Akshay Puri or something.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Hard cut. You see him out there just like wheeling and dealing.
Like
taking everybody's money. Got us well. I love that. Well, they do that in Vegas all the time.
You've never been away from your family during the
I'm sure I have, but normally we get a few days off and we...
Head down.
A couple of days of at least.
Yeah.
Try not to. It's an important kind of time to be home and, you know, light that little diya in your own house. It's supposed to be
the ritual.
Good luck and all that and say the prayers.
Ooh. Okay.
So I guess this year it's a little bit different than every other year, right?
Yeah, they're coming to us, but I mean, you know, home is a suitcase and where your heart is. I mean, actually, it's like your family's with you. Whoa.
Sorry. I was so scared.
Party.
But they've done it. They've done it already. They've gone to, and they really also, my wife's gone to her manager's office.
Oh.
She's the one who gets her all the jobs. And that's where they've done the main brand. Because money.
So, yeah.
It's different than our 4th of July. Right? Like our Independence Day, like that's the only time that we're really lighting things up with like fireworks.
No, you know what I think it's more? It's more Christmas. It's more Christmas, I would say.
Yeah.
Like Christmas, lighting up the lamp.
Yeah, it's like Christmas. It's like Christmas because it's got lights.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well.
Presents and hanging out. It's like our Christmas.
That's my favorite holiday. So I guess Diwali is also my favorite holiday.
Yes.
And things actually cooled down even in hot cities.
Yeah, but you know
a little bit.
Like Australia and South Africa both have hot Christmases.
Oh, really? Mm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't know how that'd be. Florida, really?
Oh yeah. Well, it's a little bit cooler in Florida, but it's still like
muggy.
It's humid and it's like 70s, so it's like nice warm weather, 70 degree Fahrenheit. What is that Celsius? That's like a conversion.
40?
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah, that's hot. I just said the hottest number. I was like, whatever sounds hot.
Sure.
40. Yes.
That's it. Yeah. So, but I was from, I was born in Pennsylvania, but I grew up in Connecticut. So that's like the northeast of the U.S. And we had snow, like white Christmases every year. And then I moved to Florida in eighth grade. And then it just like, it didn't feel the same without a white Christmas, but I still celebrate like hardcore. I love it.
Hardcore
Christmas, baby.
You should have seen her Halloween.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure this is
great. It was hardcore.
I love holidays. I love celebrating. I love reasons
you
to celebrate. Yeah.
There's a whole concept where it kind of more than the meaning of the thing itself is the family ritual, is the idea of getting together,
getting people
and tradition
bonding and kind of
So it's crazy. So Sri Lanka has the most amount of holidays in the world. It's the country
really?
With the most amount of holidays. Yeah. So there's one holiday once a month when there's a full moon. So that's like everything just shuts down. It's called a Poya day, and it's like
that's a good day for.
Yeah, but you know, the crazy thing about that is the full moon, I don't know if like it really affects us, like it affects human beings. It affects like our being the way we are because of the water, the rise in water and the tides. And
you think so? I've heard this, but
no,
I'm wondering
so.
If it's true.
No, that's why when there's full moon, like even like the seas, everything gets affected because we're like 70% water.
Is a menstrual cycle, Luna?
Well, no, it's not. It's
okay.
Not. But sometimes it does coincide, and you don't
like,
want to know what happens.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's double whammy.
That's where lunatic comes from, right? The word. Yes.
I'm telling you, it does.
True.
If you'll notice, like on full moon nights, you might not
lunar be lunatic. Period.
Yes.
Generally.
Got it.
Yeah.
But it does. So there's a holiday every single month when there's a full moon over there. So, I mean, but it's more of a holy thing as well. There's a holiday for every.
Obviously, you've heard of Mercury retrograde, right? But I feel like it happens so often. I mean, this is a whole different situation. But ever since I was learning about it and figured it out, I'm like, okay, we're out of it now. And now we're back in it. Like, it's like every...
Yeah.
It happens so often. And
I don't
like,
know if you follow the planets and, like, their readings and stuff.
No,
but
but not really. But, I mean, you know, I've
just,
heard...
It just, like, destroys your, like... Your days.
I believe in it. Somehow something always drastic and dramatic happens.
Yeah. And I'm like, I need to stop paying attention to this because I feel like sometimes me paying attention to these things, I'm like putting the energy out there. Yeah. And I'm bringing it into my own life. And I'm like, okay, like, let me not pay attention to the schedule unless it's really awesome.
I love Americans.
Yeah.
That was really awesome.
Unless it's positive. Hardcore
Christmas.
Oh no.
I know. I think it's great. I just think it's amazing.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
Feels good.
We have to announce our winner.
Yay!
We have a cash prize winner every episode, Seth. So I don't know if you see that in front of you, but this is the comment that we got, the winning comment on our review. They give us 5-star reviews. And if you want to read it, do
you
want to read it?
I'm a good vibe podcast.
Done.
I read it. Otherwise, I don't want to read it.
All right. So let's see what...
I hate you.
Those are not great reviews.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, we're crying.
I hate to feel like,
but...
Okay, so is this Mirogata? Mirogata. Okay, so her title was Felt Good, and this is what she said.
Mirogata said, started my morning with, we're getting married. So good. It's like having virtual girlfriends. Got to learn about new places and new terms. Oh, you guys have such a nice vibe. Is that us?
Well, this is our last week's.
It's
difficult for her.
It's like, it's about me.
Or something. It's not life.
And you're like,
what's going on?
It's like having virtual girlfriends. Yeah. I love that.
He's like, thank you.
He must have been like, wait a minute. Like,
wait a minute. And what did I say?
We're getting married.
Yeah, like,
what am I going to put myself into?
I don't know. It's quite funny.
But this was last week's episode because we spoke about marriage. And yeah, so that was...
Me, I'm the first episode.
You're our first guest. First,
yeah.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
whatever.
I mean,
piecing it together. After this podcast, he's going to get off and be like, oh,
what's going on?
That's what happened.
Oh, that's what happened.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Why did I do that?
We've already done four podcasts.
That's what it is.
Just confuse him.
It's good, though. You have a great lineup behind you. You got a lot of comedians behind you. You got a lot of actors behind you.
Oh, for me, if you could live in any sitcom, which one would it be? Two and a Half Men.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Don't ask me who I'd want to be, though.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. What is the scariest thing you've ever done for fun?
I'm sure frightening someone or getting someone to dress up as a monster.
Scariest thing you've ever done? Like, have you gone like bungee jumping and stuff?
No, like scared someone else or like that.
That's the scariest thing?
I guess something to do with maybe motorcycles or something. They were a bit scary.
Bikes.
Or driving NASCAR. Fast.
Oh, what is that?
I did a movie, like those cars, stock car racing. That was scary.
You went to North Carolina for that.
Yes, and it was scary because you're strapped in and you're all locked in.
Are those the F1 cars?
And it's very hot. They're not F1. They're NASCAR cars, like stock driving, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're very hot and they all open up so that when you drive fast, you're getting hit in the head with fumes and hot. So I was very claustrophobic. And this guy teaching me was, luckily there was a driver on the track and he looked across at me. And he said, "You all right?" And I said, "Oh, I can't breathe." And he said, "Yeah, you gotta want it."
No,
it's true though.
I just felt great. He says, "You gotta want it, buddy."
I was just thinking, like, how are they racing in that condition?
You gotta want it.
Imagine being the actual driver, though, because
I
did that in a Formula One car too. I was in the back, and then it was just like your whole body is the whole time just like. And you're like,
they have to work out with
there's whiplash as well.
I saw Schumacher working out with such heavy weights in
on
a video with his, just to get his, you know,
neck
heads
like together. Even like the neck strong, right?
Mainly
whiplash.
The neck,
yeah,
because you're just bouncing around, like she said.
Oh my god, that's crazy. Okay, there's another one here. If you could eliminate one thing from your daily routine, what would it be and why?
It's probably some kind of a diet or, say, eating something stupid, I'm sure, at some point.
But you don't really eat
something. No, I don't, but I do sometimes. I can, especially in hotel rooms.
Oh, my
room
can't service? Sleep,
no, if I, mini bar, like not the alcohol, but I walk in there and just eat a few crisps.
It is super tempting.
Pringles or something.
Every time you check in, just be like, hey, can you empty the
check
mini bar?
Check this out. I've done that really often, and there's always something.
They're like, oh, let's just mess with him. Leave a little chocolate bar.
They load it up. Or they give you, like, the welcome gift in your hotel room. It's just all chocolates and...
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, exactly.
We've got that here.
Yeah, we did. We got, like, our little, like...
chocolate phone that says...
The chocolate phone, yeah. It was, like, from our Instagram. It was, like, an Instagram page. Like, our post. Okay.
Is that from...
Yeah, it was from my Instagram.
Are you serious? Such a client,
hey, there's perks in Instagram, Seth. You gotta get in on
there's
it.
There's some little beans to be made as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I made some money in lockdown. So my wife's on it.
See, look
and
at that.
And they got me as a sucker actor.
She made money from social media without even being on social media. How clever is that?
You have a wife
that is
on
great.
You don't have to be on it.
Yeah, he's cracked the code.
I mean, like,
daughter, yeah.
It's like, this is the smartest, like, way to go ahead with it. I mean, I think this is the future.
Well,
just, like, make money from it without being on it.
I love it. Since you're so good at making money, if you had to wear a t-shirt with one word on it for 1 year, which would you choose? And you could sell these t-shirts.
Peace.
Peace is good. Yeah. I like that.
What ours would be
or
gem.
Be kind.
Guess,
that's
words.
Word? Two words.
Yeah, that's two.
Be kind.
Real quick.
Combine it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, me and Amanda have got a word. Guess what our word is?
Juice.
Juice? Why juice?
What did you say?
I said jam.
Jam. Why jam?
Well,
so
Half listening.
If you
kind of listen.
Yeah, half listening.
Juice.
I like juice. Juice and jam. Well, it's good. Jackie and Amanda make jam. Because Jade.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's very good.
Right?
Yeah, that's our couple name.
Amanda.
So I reached out to Amanda on Instagram.
Oh, you guys met on the gram. Mm-hmm. Wow.
The gram. I know, in my DMs. Romantic.
Yes, I DM'd Amazing. Her. Mm-hmm. And I was coming to LA and I was like, I have to meet her because she does the funniest skits. And sure. Like, I've followed her, you know, on Instagram for ages. And like, truly a fan, but when I was coming to LA, I was like, maybe I should message her. Should I try? I tried, and she responded, and she's like, yeah, cool, let's meet up.
Oh, nice! It makes the world smaller, and it's lovely, isn't it?
And we caught up for coffee, you know, like that, you know, when we got in, and then mm-hmm. it was just from there. We've just been.
Then like, I became a fan, and I'm like, you will never leave my sight.
I'm a fan of jam.
I know, jam.
You guys should have merchandise.
I know, totally. We need to start
someone
that.
Someone has to pay for it.
Though. Step yeah. by step.
Akshay Puri. I don't know. We could manage it.
I love how like nobody knows who Akshay Puri is. Yeah. You brought his name in here three times.
If he can pay for it, and you can interview Booth Police people.
Oh.
For the jam. Yeah, like just a show. Why don't you do a show to publicize movies?
Oh, there you go. Oh, like,
you want to publicize your and I'd have, own movie.
I know. I was like, would I be able to do that though? Or is that like,
you guys must watch this movie featuring Jacqueline Fernandez.
Let me help you. I can be like the jam interviewer if you want.
No, this is great.
I want a baseball hat though.
Why?
That says
done.
Jam. Oh, yeah. Well, you will do caps and t-shirts.
I think he's starting to produce our podcast.
Oh. Oh,
his natural instincts are coming in.
We got him just where we wanted him.
Yes.
Mission accomplished.
And then it will be a movie.
Look at
step us. By step.
Like, before Seth knows that there's movies.
How did that happen? What am I doing?
Yes, just sign this dotted line right here.
You've already signed it. You've already signed it. You have no idea. Virtually.
Ink appears.
We have you on camera.
That's cool, man. I'll do it.
Yay! Success.
I mean, you heard it here first, folks. It's happening.
This is good news. We're going to title our episode next week. We got a movie.
New Bollywood film. New Bollywood meets Hollywood
produced
film. Coming
crossover.
Produced by. Crossed by our first together. Ever celebrity guest.
It's when they collide. So it's
happening. It's happening.
It's Boho.
Boho. Yeah, Hollywood. Boho Productions.
Boho. Hobo.
Boho Productions. A jam movie. We're killing it. We just need some cash now.
Akshay Puri.
Akshay Puri finances a jam production.
Let's get him on our show next week, Amanda. Let's get Akshay Puri on our show.
No, this podcast has been super productive.
Discussing Bollywood. Yeah. Okay. And then by the end of it, we'll have a movie.
I think we should do it. Get him on. I'll come and do what he's doing.
The truth is, this podcast.
I want to watch. Yes, that's what he's been doing. I'm just sitting in the corner laughing.
This podcast is just a promotion for our future movie.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
Yeah. I see that. I know where, it's going.
Just to make things clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always up front. All right. Another question from our fans. You gave us more time, so we're really milking time here.
All right, cool. Let's do one more. Would you rather be able to talk with animals or speak all foreign? These are from your fans, by the way. Would you rather be able to talk with animals or speak all foreign languages?
Wow, that's a really good question.
That is a tough one.
I don't know how to answer that.
Animals.
Can I speak like 10 languages and to 10 animals? I mean, no, split it up. I think I'd rather speak to animals.
Yeah,
same.
Because, you know, languages are all the same. They're just, you know, different versions of the same
And that
thought.
Is definitely something you can learn. And if you want to speak.
But this is a slightly
this
different
is a
perspective.
Superpower.
Unless it's a really boring conversation with like a chicken where you say, what's up? And he says, well, I'm eating this thing.
What else?
It's nothing else. It's all
we've all seen Moana.
And you're like, damn, I should have taken 10 languages.
I know. Like, they just don't
I could have spoken Mandarin. I'm stuck here talking to you about eating feed on a farm. That's all you know.
Like, they're just not interested in talking
damn
to
it.
Us.
Yeah.
I would just try. And what if different, I wonder if different animals around the world, this is a deep late night thought for me, guys. Whoa. I wonder if animals around the world speak different languages, like in, like a dog
in different, parts,
in,
different countries.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a dog in LA.
Of course they would. What is a different language? It's the same thought expressed with different sounds, right?
From the community that you're
so the ideas, you don't have different like ideas. Different. Ideas are not different. Mm-hmm. Like a Chinese person won't say, you know, the tea is on the table. I mean, that's the same idea.
Exactly.
Right? So it's just different sounds.
And like from different communities.
Yeah, there would be. Oh, but maybe rivers sound the same everywhere.
What sounds the same?
Rivers and trees sound, I mean, like wind.
Yeah.
So they say accents are based on, like I read something.
Your environment.
Yes. Like someone lived near the river and it had some smelly fish in it. Or people caught fish and they became
smelly. They were
smelly.
Nasal?
So they were more nasal because they were smelling a lot of, you know.
He's totally adding to our fun facts. Like, this is actually fun. Right?
Seth, can you tell me where my accent, like what was my environment? From my
I can't.
But you told us.
I didn't say
you told
us. You sound
us.
Like someone who started off in the northeast of America and it probably went down south to warmer climes.
Wow.
Oh my God. How did you know?
Whoa.
That's amazing. No, this is about those Irish or those kind of, you know, very strong accents are sometimes governed by environment.
I mean, like, because everyone sounds so distinct, right? I mean, like, people in the desert sound different from people living in an island and people. So it's
in Bombay, it's like, oh my God, it's really hot. No. I keep getting in trouble.
Canceled.
I froze. I was like.
Like island.
That wasn't me. I wasn't even on this podcast. I don't know what's happening.
Imagine just potentially hearing you.
But
no, but people on an island. People on an island actually have very singy-songy like voices and accents, like they sing their.
I want to go so bad. I've never been to Ireland. I really want to go. I was going to go for my birthday this year, but then it's the pandemic.
I nearly went to Trinity College Dublin, which is quite nice. A really nice place. Ireland's beautiful.
Ireland.
And the walks and nature is amazing also.
What's that one movie? I watched it and it just made me want to go. It's always
P.S. I Love You.
The Devil's Own.
P.S. I love you.
I love you. Oh.
The Devil's Own.
Yeah, oh, no. What is that?
IRA guy.
In Ireland?
Yeah. This IRA starts off in Dublin,
sounds
Belfast.
Sounds like a horror film.
Back in the, it was a war zone.
Did you see P.S. I Love You, though?
It's very like different.
Yeah, I know. We're like, P.S. I Love You, the Devil's
Advocate. Have you seen P.S. I Love You?
I'm not watching P.S. I Love You. No, I'm not going to watch it either.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It's like heart-wrenching.
Come on. Maybe you'll cry.
I bet you'll cry. I bet you you'll cry.
I know.
I bet you.
I don't want to cry. I get very scared of crying.
Oh, that answers our other question.
Yeah.
What was the other question?
What scares you?
Crying. Cockroaches. Cockroaches.
Mm. Oh.
Cockroaches in incontinence. I have a terrible story about that.
Incontinence,
like when you can't control going to the loo.
Oh, I didn't know it was called that.
It's one of the beauties of
incontinence.
You know, getting older, you could look forward to that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. Already there.
Incontinence.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, gotta go. I did take a bathroom break in our other podcast.
Incontinence, new word for the day.
I love that. We learned so much from you. We don't need Google. We have Seth.
Yeah. We don't need fun facts segment.
We have Seth.
We had Seth.
It's time for Seth.
Yeah, fun facts.
Well, you'll never want to come to Florida because we have flying
cockroaches. I've been to Florida quite often.
I can't handle that.
It's too, you know, once I was watching TV at home and I had the window open in Lokanwala in Bombay, and I was watching TV and I felt something land on my knee, and I really thought it was a very light little fly because it was so soft.
Oh my God.
Watching TV, I just like looked at my knee and there was this big cockroach that big, and I went,
oh yeah.
I start to cry. I start to cry.
I would also start crying.
I start to cry when you don't see where they went. Like, if you saw it and then it's gone, because then we have ones that fly.
Where is it? I can't sleep.
Yeah.
I can't sleep. Nightmare. I have to rip up all the furniture and kill
it. Same thing with spiders. Spiders.
But you have like nets on your windows to stop that happening.
Mosquito nets?
Yeah, that kind
of. Oh, or yeah, like the.
Jolly.
Yeah. No? You just let them get
Come
right
on in.
You're welcome.
Are they so quite good looking or are they like not good looking cockroaches? They're ugly.
They're very ugly.
Are they big? Super big.
There's
this thing
very
I was
large.
In the airport once shooting and there was a locust kind of attack and the first lot of locusts were quite scary, biblical,
They're
scary
huge,
looking.
Right? Yeah.
But a week later, these I very good looking green ones arrived that were not as disturbing at all.
Was this was this during quarantine?
No, it was long time.
Because there was a locust.
Yeah, there was
attack, right? Isn't that pretty weird?
Yeah, very biblical.
Yes. Because like so many weird things were happening and then like all then of the
rapture
came the locust.
We have the migration of the butterflies.
Plague, locust, what else?
The great migration? What? Of what?
The butterflies.
Of butterflies?
Yeah,
butterflies
it's all monarch butterflies just like flying down the roads. Like thousands of them.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I was like, what is this?
That would be beautiful. Butterflies? Like their colors and their wings?
The monarch butterfly is probably quite big.
Oh.
Well, they're the orange ones, right?
But how big are they?
Come on. Butterflies, no matter how big they are, they're not scary.
That big. They are butterflies that big. Moths.
Moths are scary. Moths is moths, poor guys.
Can't do it.
Like butterflies are so beautiful and then there's moths.
But that story about the lotuses really made me think about the cockroaches and how I said they're all ugly. You know, maybe I just need to give them a chance.
I know.
No, they're quite scary. Okay.
Okay, so good. Like, yeah,
yeah, exactly. This is positive. This feels good.
Salman Rushdie wrote this lovely short story or book, I mean, in the Satanic Verses, about this lady who's just covered in butterflies and she's, you know, this where the king sees her and he falls in love with her. And there's this very descriptive, beautiful writer, but he writes this lovely piece about butterflies.
Oh, good. Hire him for a movie.
Yeah, he gets hired to write movie scripts.
is it a compilation of different writers, or is this?
No, this is his book, The Satanic Verses.
Oh, I don't read
it. Got banned.
Yeah,
that's when the Ayatollah Khomeini, a popular chap in America, passed a fatwa on him.
Yeah,
and his life changed. He had to change his name to Joseph Anton, and
who that guy who put the fatwa on?
No, on Salman Rushdie's life. There was an Islamic death sentence passed by the Ayatollah Khomeini, the spiritual leader of Iran. Mm-hmm. You know that movie Argo?
Yeah.
So he's the guy who kind of, you know, hates America, the great Satan.
So basically, and a fatwa is where like you get banned because you've gone against
death sentence. Well, he did write that the best brothel in the world was in Mecca and you know, the women are named after sort of wives of the prophet or something.
Wow.
So it didn't go down too well.
No.
Yeah. So he changed his name.
He had to change his name to Joseph Anton, which named after two of his favorite writers, Joseph Conrad and Anton Chekhov, who's a Russian playwright.
Oh.
And his book, he's written an autobiography called Joseph Anton.
And do people know his whereabouts? Does he get...
He's cool now. He's in India. I mean, and he's in England and it's fine now. It was lifted and all was forgiven and everything was okay. But for many years, everyone was with sort of special security in London and his life changed.
Wow. That is scary. Yeah.
There's so many...
It's not very happy.
I know, right? Oh, yeah.
Everything
Wow.
Time to party.
Yeah, so you guys go have so much fun for Diwali. Make sure that...
Diwali.
Did I say it?
No, but you said it right.
No, it's Diwali. Say ver for verbiage.
Because it's pronounced
Diwali.
Vermont.
It's Diwali.
Spelled with a W.
V for Vermont.
Diwali.
Yes.
Diwali, yes.
Diwali.
Have fun celebrating Diwali.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Well done. Diwali.
And you too, light a candle.
And you too, light a candle for us.
Oh, I will. I love candy. Oh, wait, hold on. Happy.
You got one. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Bali.
Spread the light. Oh, that looks like a nice candle. Is that a charcoal candle?
I don't know. They sent it to me.
It's a charcoal.
Pretty.
Ooh. What's a charcoal?
Oh, it smells so good. Oh, nice.
That's beautiful. Well done, Amanda.
Yay!
My first Diwali celebration.
Happy Diwali,
everyone!
Lovely. Awesome!
Happy Diwali. Feels good.